From the Kramer Basketball Headquarters in Myrtle Beach, South Carolina, you are listening to the Coach's Edge Podcast, powered by CoachesEdge.coach. Here is your host, Steve Kramer.
Welcome to the Coach's Edge Podcast. As we dig into early offense, some of my favorite early offensive actions, powered by CoachesEdge.coach, your personal online resource, whether it's player development, program development, athletic development, culture and leadership, strategy, or the personal touch of having somebody that can watch some of your game film, email, phone calls, Zoom calls, help you do the best that you can throughout the course of this basketball season. That's CoachesEdge.coach. It's a fun time of year. The seasons change. My job really changes based on the seasons as well, as our players are now in season. And so it's much more geared towards working with our coaches inside CoachesEdge.coach. Continue to just strengthen my mind as far as how I can be a better coach, serve the coaches inside our membership. And then we dig into the younger levels where we run some more youth basketball programs during the winter. So it's a good refresh throughout the course of a very busy kind of year, which is why I wanted to share this specific topic early in the season. What are some ways we can get into our offense smoothly? What are some actions that we can use to, create that domino effect, right? Create an advantage, keep that advantage, and hopefully create good shots. Studies show that a lot of high percentage shots happen early in the clock. And we're not talking about, throw it up, take a bad shot early in the offense. We're talking about creating advantages early before the defense is set. So these are five that I really like. I'm not going to say these are my five favorite, because as soon as I say that, something else is going to pop in. I'm saying, no, I like that better. But I want to share with you five early offensive actions that I think you might be able to incorporate easily within your team. First one is a drag screen, and I got two different variations I want to share with you today. But as we think about drag screen, I go back to last year, overseas pro combine, Myrtle Beach. I was asked to be one of the coaches, and Dan Hughes, who's been on the podcast, who's a two-time WNBA champion, is a head coach, retired now, and he does some, college game breakdowns and analysis, I think in the SEC and some different college levels. But when he came, he did an hour clinic for these prospective athletes trying to get that overseas contract. And he talked about early offense, talked about creating an advantage early, and he talked about using a drag screen, whether you're running four out or five out, which is what most teams are doing. And so he worked with the players just going 5-on-0. Here's how we send a rim runner to the rim. If we can pitch the basketball ahead, if we can pitch it down to that rim runner early, great. If not, we're going to bring it along one of the sides. We got a trailer. We're going to run that drag screen, right? And then we're going to get into our offense. So the drag screen's big. You see this at every single level. It's keeping the game very simple. There's a couple options that I think can make it really, really effective. And so when I say drag screen is one of my favorite actions, it's actually two of my favorite actions. One, drag screen strong side corner, and two, drag screen with an empty corner. So let's break down each of them in a little more detail. If we're going with a drag screen with a strong side corner, let's say we're running five out, right? So we have a player in each corner. If the ball handlers bring the basketball down the left side of the court, we got a player coming down to set that ball screen, that drag screen, and then we got the opposite wing usually filled. So this would be a five-out situation. Tons of space. As we use that ball screen, can we get downhill and attack the paint, right? That's can we attack? It's going to be harder to reject. It's going to be easier to reject with an empty corner, which we'll talk about in a second. So if I can get downhill, if we were in five-out, we can use that roller after the drag screen to get downhill. That's a great option that we can have. We want to pass to where the help came from. So who's tagging the roller on that drive? If that's the person that we can get the basketball to, that's huge. One of the big passes that I love off a ball screen is that hook pass. So if I'm using that drag screen on the left side of the court coming into the middle and the left side corner, that defender is the one that's tagging, lifting that player out of the corner slightly, using that hook pass to get the basketball there is huge, right? And then from that pass, do we have the ability to catch and shoot? Now, do we have the ability to post up on that side with our roller? Do we have an action on the other side to occupy those defenders? And then we could get in and run another ball screen, lifting, hitting the corner with the big, coming back up and send another ball screen. So there's a lot of good things that we can run out of that drag screen with a strong side corner. Now, if it's a drag screen with an empty corner, right? So let's say, again, I'm bringing the basketball down on the left side of the court. We have our drag screen coming up closer to, let's say, the left seam area, right? We have nobody in the left corner, right? And we're pushing everybody else to the right side. So that could be a right corner. That could be right wing. That could be kind of right slot pushed out, extended above the three-point line if we're still want to keep some five-out spacing. And your first read on this one is absolutely reject that screen because there's nobody to clog that up in the left corner if I have the basketball on the left side, right? So if I can work on rejecting that screen and getting downhill, a lot of times that player, the younger levels in transition, defense hasn't really recovered and matched up. Where am I supposed to be? Where's the basketball? Who's the player that I'm guarding? That can be an easy bucket, right? It allows for a two-player game on the left side of the court because we pushed everybody else to the side. That's a good option for us to have. Then again, where's the help coming from? This situation, it's going to have to come probably from the low man on the other side if we're rolling that person to the basket. So now if we really do a nice job of getting a touch into the paint, we can spray that basketball out. We got a 3-on-2 on the other side, which is a good advantage to have and could create another quick inside-out shot, right? We want to score in the paint, and we want to get inside-out threes, right? So if we're attacking the paint, high percentage shots in the paint. We're attacking the paint, we're drawing more fouls. Most fouls happen because of players that are aggressive driving the ball. So if you're asking yourself, boy, we're physical, we're tough, how come we're not getting fouled? Maybe you are physical, maybe you are tough, but are you driving the basketball? If you drive the basketball, you're going to get fouled more often. Right? That's a huge part of getting to the foul line. And then creating inside out threes, right? Getting a touch in the paint, getting the basketball out. Those are the types of catch and shoots and one more passes that we want to have. So there's 2 out of 5. Drag screen, strong side corner, drag screen, empty corner. The third one that I want to share with you is pistol action. In transition, handoff, let that player who gets the handoff immediately come off and use that drag screen. This is the primary early offense for the last team that I played on overseas in Germany. We didn't call it pistol. I don't even know if they were calling it pistol back in the day. I mean, that's a long time ago now. But this is what we ran. We had a 4-out, 1-in offense. So you'd have somebody running to the rim. You'd have a runner kind of running along the wings, you know, pushing down. We didn't push down usually all the way down to the corner, because we came up pretty quick, get that handoff. And then we'd have our big trailing the play who was going to set that ball screen. And so our point guard would bring the basketball up. Sometimes I was that point guard. Can we pitch the basketball ahead? Can we pitch it ahead to a rim runner? Yes or no. Can we pitch it ahead up one of the sidelines? Yes or no. And if we didn't have any of those pitch ahead passes, that point guard would keep the basketball. They bring it to one of those sides. They get their handoff in. And then person who gets the handoff would come off that drag screen to the middle of the court, right? And a lot of times what would happen is one of the two has to help. I mean, everybody can shoot. And again, I'm talking pro basketball compared to high school basketball with a lot of our listeners. But what happened for us, like running pistol immediately as our early offense action, we usually got a good shot just off of the handoff ball screen, and then some type of one more pass really led to a good shot for us, right? So if I'm coming off of the handoff, I use that ball screen. If I'm able to drag the big with me, Now I can just hook pass over the top to my big who just set the ball screen for me. That's pick and pop, boom. There's a catch and shoot three, right? If the person who gave the handoff is helping on that pick and pop off the handoff, now the big can get it. They can throw it down to the point guard, who would be, let's say, on the right side of the court now, if they drove to the right and handed it off to the right. That could be an opportunity to score. Or it could be throw to that point guard, and then go give them a ball screen, right? So it could be ball screen off of that. With running pistol, okay? So again, let's break this down. Ball handler brings the basketball down. They hand off around one of the wings. Wing player comes off, uses the ball screen and the drag as that early pistol action coming off into the paint. Okay, so if I'm driving from the right side of the court, using that ball screen, coming closer towards the left, or I'm going to my left, okay, well, what's the other side of the court look like? We got a shooter who's spaced on the left side of the court, and they have room to roam because we were running four out, one in. So our big didn't have a designated spot. It was just read and play the game, right? So this wasn't as mechanical as like dribble drive where the big always has to float underneath. It was just reading, where's the big helping? If the player comes off, right? And I want to get ahead of myself, but if we use that pistol action in early offense and the opposite wing defender helps too much, I'm kicking it out to that player on the left side of the court. Maybe they're lifting up, maybe they're drifting down to the corner. That could be a bucket right there, right? But if not, you can hit that player. And a lot of times the big who was the first rim runner down would end up posting up. And we get kind of into a two-man game on that side of the court, right? They could even turn into another ball screen action coming low to high off that situation. Coming off, again, as we said, we ran a four out, one in and used pistol as our first offensive action. That big had a lot of freedom, right? They were just looking, where is their defender? Where are they rotating? Where are they helping? Go to where the defense isn't, right? There weren't any rules. If they helped up, you could throw them a lob, right? If they scooched over because the ball was being driven more along the left lane line, right? They could wrap underneath to the right side. You throw them a hook pass, maybe a wraparound pass, and get them a bucket right there, right? Those are all options that happen very, very quickly off of this type of thing. And then sometimes if they're a little more of a shooter, right, they could start to kind of peel out, get out a little bit, right, into a spot up opportunity as well off of pistol. So I went a while on that one, but I really like pistol action as a early offense opportunity. If you don't have that pitch ahead pass, and if you do, you can still, you know, get into, you know, throw ahead, you can chase it, you can get your ball screen in, but that complements some early offense very well. Next one that does it very well is your zoom action. Happy to talk about a million zoom actions. You know, we have a really good YouTube video at Kramer Basketball YouTube channel on zoom action as well that you know, shows a bunch of different options that coaches can use zoom to be effective. But I love zoom because it's a great way to loosen up good defensive teams and being able to bring the basketball down, right? So we don't have that pitch ahead pass. I'm bringing the basketball down. Let's say I'm on the right side of the court. If we're running five out, I throw the basketball to the big who's trailing play up top. I go down more or less to the corner area. I'm just trying to find that defensive player. I set a screen on them. My teammate comes off my screen. They come off the big with the ball. They get that handoff. They're turning the corner, and then we're playing, right? So if they can get to the paint, they continue to get to the paint. If you got a shooter setting that screen as a big, right, that could be a pick and pop situation. We got possibly an exchange on the other side if you're running five out. The thing about zoom is there's so many ways to beat the defense. So once you say, hey, zoom, down screen, handoff, and here's the things that you can do out of that, which is very important for us to teach. What we also want to teach as we build in the IQ of running Zoom actions with our players is all the things they can do before an actual Zoom is carried out, right? So if I throw the basket, if I'm bringing the basketball up and I have a player in the right corner and I have my big who's trailing the play more or less at the top of the key area, wherever you want to put them, and I hit them with that pass. Now I go down to set a screen on the defender who's somewhere in that corner wing area, right? Just off of that, the game is now opened up, right? We've created more space for the person with the basketball up top. There's opportunities to set that screen and have my cutter immediately curl it. There's opportunities for me to set that screen and slip that screen. There's opportunities for me, if I'm a good post player, to set that screen. They switch it. Maybe we've got a mismatch. I can just try to spin, seal, and post up. If I set that screen and now I go down to the corner and my guard or wing is coming off into that handoff, there's the opportunity for the big to be able to keep that ball, fake that handoff, boom, turn the corner and go, right? They can fake that handoff and then get it back to me again as the screener and come set me a ball screen, right? There's so many options. I mean, they're endless with running these Zoom actions and they can happen pretty quick, right? Again, we just talked about drag screen, right? So if I bring the basketball down, instead of using that drag screen, I'm not going to use that drag screen. I'm going to pass it to that screener instead and then just go down to the corner, set that screen and have them come off the handoff. That's a great way for us to get the basketball in a scorer's hands because maybe your point guard is great at setting the table and setting everything up, but they're not as effective scoring the ball. Maybe it's because they're a little slower. They're a little undersized. Maybe they're just more of a set the table type player, which is great for them to be able to still initiate the offense. Good IQ, make good decisions. They pass the basketball to the big, they go down and set that screen. And now the person who's using that screen and coming off that handoff has a little more attackability and a little more of a scorer's mindset. That's a great way for us to get them the basketball early in the possession, right? While the defense isn't quite loaded up yet, right? I could do that. The whole thing could be on Zoom. I love, love, love Zoom. The fifth one that I want to share with you guys is get action. Steph Curry is probably the best I've ever seen at get action, but I like it in transition for a few different reasons. If your point guard, especially, is a really good player, right? And so they get a lot of pressure. They get picked up early. They get a lot of doubles. For them to be able to throw the basketball ahead does a couple things, right? So if I'm bringing the basketball up, let's say I'm bringing the basketball up, I'm the point guard, and I'm bringing it up and I'm in the backcourt, more or less on the left side of the court. And I throw the basketball up. Let's say I throw it up to around the wing area, left wing. One, if that player who catches the ball has an advantage, again, the pass is faster, right? So maybe they have an advantage, they can get to the rack. But if I'm the best player on the team and I throw the basketball ahead, it's human nature for most defensive players to relax, to turn their head and watch the ball. And this is one of the reasons why Steph Curry is, there's nobody else like Steph Curry, because he works harder off the ball than he does on the ball. He does a lot of work on the ball as well, right? Everybody works when the ball's in their hands. How hard do you work when the ball's out of your hands? Especially if you're a player who gets so much dang attention when you do have the ball in your hands. I mean, so if I have the basketball on the left side, I push it up to the left wing, my defender sags off a little bit, they relax, I chase it immediately, right? So I throw, boom, I go. Now the wing player pitches or hands the basketball back to me. Now I'm on the left side of the court. This gives the player the option to keep the ball. I can come off the ball, the hand off the ball screen, right? I can also, if we're running five out, you can get into another action with the player who we tossed the basketball up to. So like three really fast, easy reads. I throw it up, player has an advantage, they attack. I throw it up, I'm still chasing either way, right? But that player can hand the basketball back to me, and now can I turn the corner and go score? If I throw it up, I chase it, I get the basketball back. Now I'm on the left wing. Now that player who hands the ball can set another, so they can flip the hips and they can set another ball screen. And now I can come to the middle off of that ball screen. And if we have a big who's in transition coming down, they can set me yet another ball screen. We can use that player to pass, get into a zoom action. There's so many little options off of that. But giving our players a little bit of structure and then the options off of it is huge. I throw, I chase, offensive player keeps the basketball, go to work. Great. I throw it, I chase, I get the basketball back. Can I turn the corner and go to work? I throw the basketball, I chase, I don't get it at all. I just run all the way down to that left corner. Okay, well, player has the basketball. Now who are we running? A lot of times we're going to run a ball screen off that if we're in that transition drag situation. So we just worked in the get action, a possible handoff with the option of keeping it, and then we're throwing in a ball screen. And this happens in a matter of seconds, right? And so I'm certainly not saying you need to use all of these within your offense, but as you listen to this episode, my hope is you realize how much of this complements one another. Like so many of these actions are slight variations. They really go hand in hand, right? So as you think about what you're doing this season to try to create easy opportunities to score, I think it's great for us to be able to add a little bit more structure. We don't want to say, hey, just sprint down the court, stay spaced. Okay, great. Well, an AAU team can do that. And there's high level AAU and there's some pretty bad AAU as well, right? So we need more than that. And as a high school basketball coach, you got a certain amount of months, but you have that consistency of practicing each day. And so we want to make sure that we're implementing some things with combining the freedom and the structure. And there's going to be certain teams, certain players that need a little bit more structure. And that's when you can start to give some calls into these, right? Again, even our pro basketball team, right? We used a pistol action in early offense and then just used our abilities and our IQ and our understanding to let the rest of that play unfold, right? But like that was our early offensive action. If we didn't have any of those pass aheads, right? And there'd be a times where our point guard would bring it down and, hey, you know what? Like, we're just going to run a play. There's no real advantage here. But a lot of times it was handoff, ball screen, play. But that little bit of structure in the beginning allowed for a ton of different variations in how we were able to create the shot at the end of that possession, simply based on creating an advantage and using our skills and understanding of the game to finish the possession off, right? So I hope you enjoyed this episode. We got a few great things on YouTube as well, breaking down some different, you know, I just get on Fast Draw and I'll break down some actions and drills and some movement there. So make sure you check out the Kramer Basketball YouTube channel. If you want access to everything that we're working on, it's at coachesedge.coach. Link is in the description below. I hope you guys are having a great time. It's the holiday season, man. Getting ready to head up. So I'm recording this for Thanksgiving. And then, you know, a couple weeks after that, we're going to be heading back up to Michigan for Christmas. We're on a bunch of youth basketball stuff. This time of year, we're working with some high school basketball teams. You know, I'll go up to Michigan. I'll work with a handful of Michigan high school teams up there. Work with a few down here in South Carolina. We're doing our youth basketball stuff. So even though it's during basketball season, I mean, if you're a coach, especially our coaches in South Carolina, I'm super flexible. Where we can make something work, I can come in and work with your team for a practice session, a couple hours. We can make that happen. And if it's around the holidays, you know, who knows, maybe we can work something out to come and see your team as well. So thank you for listening to the Coach's Edge podcast. You need anything, let me know. Get after it today.